Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And here we go. We're off and running on this Friday broadcast, the day before the March for Life in Washington, D.C., a very significant event. We'll be talking about that a little bit during the program. And a fantastic offer related to pro-life from Catholic Answers is still going on for the entire month of January, which is Sanctity of Life Month. But as we get this broadcast underway, I want to put out the phone number there and invite our non-Catholic friends to call in at 888-318-7884. And we are absolutely certain that many of you are listening, because when we offer this special broadcast, we do get full phone lines all the time from those of you who are not Catholic. And that, of course, can mean you could be a Protestant, a fundamentalist, an evangelical, any other Christian tradition. You could be a member of any other faith, for that matter, Jewish, Hindu, Muslim, agnostic, atheist, whatever the case may be. If you have a particular question about Catholicism, maybe a bone to pick with the Catholic Church, always polite and charitable, this is the place to come at 888-318-7884. So please feel free to start populating those phone lines. And Steve Ray is with us in the first hour, Catholic Answers Director of Apologetics, Tim Staples in the second hour. Steve Ray is himself a convert to the Catholic faith from a Baptist tradition. We'll ask Steve give a quick snapshot of that. He's told that story many times, but Steve is also a very, very popular pilgrimage guide to the Holy Land. I've been there with him twice myself, and he has a wonderful website, CatholicConvert.com, and he is the producer and the host of the wonderful videos, Footprints of God Pilgrimages. He's got a great blog and several books, and Steve, I could go on and on, but that would take up the whole show. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing good, Jerry. This is a little bit of deja vu. Very nice for me. You know, we used to do shows together way back when on Catholic Answers Live, and it's a real treat to be doing it with you again tonight.
It is for me too, Steve. Thank you. And I just I was mentioning to you off the air that I was reminiscing about 13 days ago, we came back from the Holy Land 2 years ago, and that was a very, very memorable pilgrimage. I imagine you're still just keeping busy and awash in pilgrimages throughout the year, huh?
Oh, yeah. In fact, right now I'm just finishing up a book with Ignatius Press on the papacy. We're just doing the final editing. I'm writing the study guide for the latest movie we just made on Elijah and Elisha that we filmed in Jordan, Israel, and Egypt. And then we're leaving on Tuesday for Jordan. We're taking a group of folks all through the biblical land of Jordan and then across into Israel. And I fly straight from Israel to Fairbanks, Alaska for a family conference to give talks. So it doesn't slow down much here, Jerry.
Very good. Well, again, open forum for non-Catholics. We like to, the history of Catholic Answers Live has had shows like this, and we really like to afford those of you who are not card-carrying Catholics, as the saying goes, to just call in and maybe you want to tweak a certain understanding of a Catholic belief that you have. Maybe you've heard something and you thought, you know, that doesn't line up with Scripture. That just doesn't sound right. Well, chances are if it sounds to you like it doesn't line up with Scripture, maybe you misheard that, or were told something, that might have been a little bit erroneous about the Catholic faith. So feel free to start calling. And let's fill up these lines. We've got 2 hours of this program, Open Forum for Non-Catholics. The number is 888-318-7884. All right, Steve, can you give us the 90-second version of your conversion? I know you've told it many times, and you've told it on this program. But for those who are new and will wonder, you know, why would a very, very devout, faithful Baptist from a wonderful Christian family ever find his way into the Catholic Church? What happened?
Well, my mom and dad were converted in 1953 from really being pagans. They didn't have any religious upbringing. Billy Graham came to Detroit in 1953, and my mom and dad were just swept off their feet, changed their lives, and just made an incredible difference. And I was raised then in all of that great luster and joy of them just becoming Christians in the Baptist tradition. That's what they were. And I had a great life. I have no animosity towards my Baptist upbringing. I love the way my mom and dad raised me, taught me how to be holy, love the Bible, go to church, all of these things. Well, when I got married later on and we started to teach the Bible, and I really loved that. I loved to teach the Bible and do evangelism, but I started to see there were problems in Protestantism that were irreconcilable. And as I struggled with those things, I saw that I had one course I could have gone to being an agnostic even, because once you start asking questions like, where did the Bible come from and how do we know which one of all these denominations, thousands of them, which one has the truth, which is the right one? They're competing with each other. And we came to a crisis in our life, and at that point, a friend of ours named Al Cresta, many people know him on Catholic radio, he became a Catholic, and we tried to argue with him and tell him he was wrong, and over a course of a year, I realized that the Catholic Church has been here for 2,000 years. It's a chain with not one link missing all the way back to Jesus and the apostles, and when I saw the beauty of the Catholic Church, which had been hidden from me, my wife and I did what my dad taught me when I was a young boy: follow the truth, even if it hurts. And on May 22nd, 1994, we came into the Catholic Church with tears in our eyes.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the tears, because I was just thinking about that, and you tell that story in much, much greater detail on one of the drives on the bus in the Holy Land. And do you have any? I know you have your book. Is it Crossing the Tiber? Is that the book that gets into it?
Yep, my book, Crossing the Tiber, tells our conversion story, and it brings out a lot of the biblical and early writings of the early Christians that convinced us of the truth of the Catholic Church. That's a book called Crossing the Tiber. It's on the Catholic Answers store. I also have my talk that I give, and it's on my website called From Baptist to Catholic. It's on my website, CatholicConvert.com. And there's also a version of it with Lighthouse Ministries. They have one also called Finding the Fullness of the Truth.
Catholic Answers Live, I'm Jerry Usher, in for Cy Kella today. Steve Ray is with us this hour. And Tim Staples, actually another convert from a Baptist tradition, is going to be with us in hour number two. So we have two solid hours here where we ask those of you, those of us, who are in the Catholic Church to sit this one out, at least on the phones. Don't sit it out by, you know, don't tune out. But we really want to give the opportunity to those who are not who do not identify as Catholic to call in and, again, express concerns, maybe ask questions, maybe you're puzzled by something, maybe the Pope has said or done something, or there's a question always certainly about, Mary and purgatory and the saints and the sacraments. And maybe you are on a journey like Steve and Janet Ray once were, and you are feeling a little bit. In fact, Steve, I'm emailing with a wonderful lady who is feeling tugged toward the Catholic Church, and her pastor and her husband and people she goes to church with are not at all comfortable with that. And it's very, it's a very uneasy place for her, but she just feels this, she feels compelled to look into it. And yet, is that, describe that for a minute, how, this isn't, as Catholics, we sometimes think, well, come on, duh, it's like, just do it, But when you're in that position, there are a lot of factors that really can play against that, right?
Well, there are. And, when we started this journey, once we were angry at the Catholic Church, but at a certain point, I started to get excited about it, because I started to say to my wife, this could be true, and if it's true, this is really beautiful. The church is far larger on the inside than it is on the outside. It's ancient, and yet it's forever young, and it's beautiful. And once we started to confront it, it was becoming very exciting. But on the other hand, I knew that if we were to become Catholics, that we would lose our friends and our families. My wife, Janet, is the first Catholic in her family in over 400 years. They have a Protestant background 400 years without one Catholic. So you can imagine what happens when all of a sudden they find out that we're becoming Catholic. In my family as well, they had just converted at a Billy Graham crusade, within their lifetime. And so now all of a sudden I'm following that heretic group, that cult called the Catholic Church. They pray to dead saints. They have statues. For us it was like a two-track. One, it was exciting and exhilarating and thrilling to discover this ancient church that's been here from the beginning with all the saints and the liturgy and the the devotions and all of this going on. And at the other hand, we said, this is going to be a big problem for us if we become Catholic. So it's one of those things that you have to make a choice, and we chose to follow the truth. And all the other things worked out. We did lose all of our friends within 2 weeks. We lost all of our friends. And but we have better friends now. We have wonderful friends and in the Catholic faith that we found. So we made the right decision. My book, Crossing the Tiber, ends with this phrase. We are not the first to cross the Tiber. The Tiber is a river that runs through Rome, and that kind of symbolic of you've crossed out of the world to come to the Vatican, you become a Catholic. So my last line is, we are not the first to cross the Tiber River. We won't be the last. We are in good company.
Well, the church is certainly better off for both of you, you and Janet, and the other people that you have helped along the way. God will bless you and reward you for that. Steve Ray is here. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go to Brian, Texas. Jesse is going to be up first. And then from Brian, Texas, to a caller named Brian and others as well. It's an open forum for non-Catholics. If you've ever wanted to ask a Catholic a pointed question about some doctrine or belief or practice of the Catholic Church, and you are not yourself a Catholic, again, we just all that we insist on is politeness and charity. You're going to get that from this end, and we certainly just simply ask that from your end. 1-888-318-7884. I'm Jerry Escher in for Cy Kellett. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a savings of over 70%. Both the book and the DVD were made specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue, and to give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of the book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or the DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5 each, just call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all, and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
All right, we have a lot of your calls screened, and we are going to go right to them in just a moment. Just real quickly, I mentioned this is the time of the year of the March for Life, Marches for Life, Walks for Life in Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, San Francisco, and so many good people are trying to build up a culture of life. And Catholic Answers to that end, since January is Sanctity of Life Month, there are a couple of resources that are available at, listen, get this. I mean, you can buy a cup of coffee for $5, $6, $7, or you can buy Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, for $5, or a copy of his DVD, Making the Case for Life, or both. Okay, a $10 bill would get you a copy of each of those. And I would really, as I've been doing all week, recommending actually that you buy a few extra copies, you know, pop for a few copies of these, because we all know people who are confused or through maybe their own bad experiences or just what they've been taught, which is not correct, espouse some sort of an anti-life, you know, pro-abortion, pro-contraception mentality. And this has to be overcome. And that's why we have the marches and walks for life. So right about now is an ideal time for you to get a hold of these resources. This is a savings of 70%, dear friends, 70%. Off the normal price. Visit the shop at Catholic.com or call right now. Customer service folks are fast, friendly, and efficient. You'll be on and off that phone in about 3 minutes. 888-291-8000. 888-291-8000. I just challenge you, if you are someone who really embraces the dignity of human life and wants our culture to change, wants the tide of our culture to change, let Trent Horn do the talking for you in his book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or his DVD, Making the Case for Life. Each just $5. Again, in the shop at Catholic.com or 888-291-8000. Okay, Steve Ray is here. He's going to talk to our non-Catholic listeners, starting with Chris in Geneva, Ohio. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. We're glad you called.
Hi, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
My question is about purgatory. Purgatory is fairly new. Why doesn't the Orthodox Church say a thing about orthodoxy and just the Catholic Church? And what's the origin of the idea of purgatory?
Oh, good talking to you, Chris. Steve here. That was a big issue for me when I was becoming Catholic, because I had always heard that purgatory was a second chance. If you failed the first time around, you could burn up a little bit and pay for your own sins and get into heaven. That's kind of like a second chance. Found out that wasn't correct. The whole idea of purgatory comes partly from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in the Bible, where it says that at the end of time we'll all be judged, and it says some of us will have works that are made of straw and stubble and hay, and it'll be burned up at the final judgment. Some of us will have works that are like gold and silver and precious stones, and they'll be only purified through the fire and not burned up. And it says, but even if you're a believer, you're in friendship with God, you're what we would call saved. And back in my evangelical days, that's how we'd refer to it. But even at that point, it says that you too, even if your works are burned up, you too may be saved, but even as through fire. So it gives you the indication there in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that there's some kind of a final purging or a test where we'll go through a fire and that'll purge us. The word purgatory just comes from the word purge. Purge means to clean something out. If you take gold and it has imperfections in it and you put it through a fire, it burns those imperfections out. And when it gets done going through that purgation or purgatory or the fire, at the other end, it's the purest of gold. So the Catholic Church has always understood that if we die in a position where maybe our sins are forgiven, but we still are full of self-love and we don't love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and there's still a lot of things in our life that need to be purged out of us, that the purgatory is maybe a place, maybe a state. We don't know what it is, but it's maybe a transition period that we go through where it's because of God's great love. Just like a father who disciplines his child as he's raising him so that he can be a wonderful adult, God, in his great love, purifies us and purges us of the imperfections and the self-love and all of these things in us, so that when we stand before him, we're holy and perfect. And one last thing I'll mention is that in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says this, and he's writing to Christians, live at peace with all men and attain or achieve holiness, without which you will never see the Lord. In other words, we have to become holy or we won't see the Lord. And that's what purgation is that the idea that at the end of life, if we haven't already, God puts us through a period, a stage, a state, whatever it is, we don't know, of final purging. Now, to your question about the Greek Orthodox, they do believe in the same thing. They just don't call it purgatory. Catholic Church likes to define things. It likes to categorize things. We have like the Western legal mind. But the East tends to have more of a mystic. Just leave it a mystery. We have to become holy. You don't have to name it and give it all these categories. So the East also believes in it. They just don't call it purgatory. But if you ask someone, is there a state where you'll be purified and made holy before God, the Greek Orthodox will tell you yes.
How's that, Chris?
Because I was very spiritual Orthodox, and I laughed because when I'd ask my dad a question, it'd be, well, that's a mystery. Okay, Dad, thanks.
Is your dad Orthodox?
Everything. Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, oh, yeah. then I pegged it right. You know, and you know, we can learn from the Orthodox. I think the Catholics, we can learn from them, and they can learn from us. And because the Orthodox just say, leave it a mystery. Why do you have to define everything and do these legal terms and write these big books on it? Just leave it a mystery, because God does these things in our life, and we'll just pray about it, you know. And so we can learn from those, because I think sometimes in the Catholic Church we get so consumed with defining and analyzing and making up, you know, theological words and categories for everything. I think sometimes it's a good idea to sit back and let the Lord work in our life and say, you know what, He's mysterious.
All right, Chris, hope that helps you out. Thanks for joining us here on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884. It is an open forum. That means any question goes from non-Catholics. Anyone who is not does not identify as a Catholic Christian, that could be anything else. And if that means you, please join us on that line that Chris was occupying there. And Jesse is in Bryan, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hi, Jesse. Welcome with Steve Ray. You're on now.
Okay. I found the scripture. It's Psalms 116, verse 15. Now, I really enjoy listening to Catholic answers, but I cannot really get the answers to be true. Now, my question is, I hear Catholics always talk about praying to the saints and certain people appear to them. But in Psalms 116:15, it says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the debt of his saints. Now, if his saints are dead, then how is it the Catholic saints are not dead and we can pray to them and they can pray for us?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think if you understand this, that he's referring to physical death. There are two kinds of death that we're going that people could or will experience. There's a riddle I once said I like to ask people: born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. What does that mean? Well, if you're born once and you're not born again, then you will die twice. You'll die physically, and at the end, after the final judgment, you'll die spiritually. If you're born twice, that means born physically and born again by the Holy Spirit, water and baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you'll only die once physically, but you will be alive spiritually. This passage is clearly referring to the physical death of someone, because we know that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jesus says in the Gospel of Matthew, have you not heard that God calls himself, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? I am not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Meaning that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, though they died physically, and I personally have been to their graves in the Machpelah in Hebron in Israel in the Palestinian areas, even though they're dead and their bones are there, Jesus said, they're not dead. Have you not heard he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He's not the God of the dead, but of the living. In another passage in the Gospel of Luke, it says, many of you will be sent off to eternal fire, and you'll be moaning and groaning because you'll see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob eating with God in the kingdom of heaven. So we Catholics believe that, yes, God, precious in the sight of the Lord of the death of his godly ones in Psalm 116, that refers to the physical death. But that certainly doesn't refer to the spiritual death, and we believe that those who are in heaven are in the presence of God. I'll give you one good example. Moses, he died. He was buried across the Jordan River, and I'm going to be there in 10 days. I'm going to be at the very place where Moses died on Mount Nebo and was buried in Jordan. But he appeared on the Day of Transfiguration talking to Jesus, very much alive.
What do you think, Jesse?
Now, when you just said the transfiguration, now you got to understand that they were in Christ. But that's not what I want to say. I mean, the dead, I mean, it's like if you are spiritually dead, I mean, physically dead, how is it that those people that were physically dead can come back? I mean, that's what I can't understand. How is it that the physical still have contact with the spiritual?
Well, it's a good question. See, we believe that the body is, the person is not just a body. The body is there, and it's the person, but we also have a soul. That's the immaterial part. And when a person dies and they get cold, I watched my dad die. And my mom, her first comment was, "That's not Dad anymore. Dad is gone." But I said, "Mom, that is Dad. That's his body. His spirit went to be with God. At the end of time, God will bring that dead body and that spirit back together at the end of time, and that my dad will be a whole person again. He will be the soul connected to his body." And you know why? You say, "Well, why does God? Why do you worry about the body? You know, it's just a body." No, God loves our bodies. He loved our body enough that he himself became incarnate. He himself, being a pure spirit in heaven, took on a human body. He loves stuff. He loves the human body. He made it in his made us in his own image. So we believe that when someone dies physically, that means that their body is buried in the ground, but their soul goes to be with God, just like Moses' soul went to be with God and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then at the end of time, the body and the soul will be reunited and will be forever with the Lord as a whole person again, body and soul.
All right, Jesse, hope that helps you out. Check out Catholic.com, Jesse, and just do a little keyword search on the website there for any other questions you might have about that. David is next, Andres, Tom, and we've got an open phone line on this question and answer for non-Catholics today on Catholic Answers Live, 888-318-7884. Hope you'll join us.
Listeners to Catholic Radio, I think, benefit most, at least initially, from what I call remedial catechesis. What Catholic Radio does is it becomes an echo chamber for the teaching authority of the Catholic Church. And what we're doing is teaching many things which have been neglected over the last 40, 50 years. If you listen to Catholic Radio, you know what the Catholic Church teaches.
Al Cresta thinks Catholic Radio is important. So should you.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about a truly unique resource just out from Catholic Answers Press. In Scripture, Jesus answered his critics again and again by using their own words against them, showing how even the enemies of the faith admitted crucial facts that undermined their own position. And it's been that way through the ages. It's proved impossible for those out to destroy the faith to mount their attacks without tripping themselves up and inadvertently testifying to the truth of what they're trying to destroy. In his new book, Hostile Witnesses, How the Historic Enemies of the Church Prove Christianity, best-selling author Gary Machuda looks at dozens of Christianity's most notorious foes from biblical times through the 20th century and draws from their antagonistic words and deeds surprising testimony to gospel truths. From the Pharisees to the Nazis, from the Crusades to the Reformation, he presents a parade of skeptics, heretics, pagan powers, and rival sects, each taking a turn in the witness's chair and giving an unexpected but compelling account in favor of Christ. If you love apologetics, you need to order your copy of Hostile Witnesses today by calling 1-888-291-8000. That's 888-291-8000, or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a Catholic bookstore in your area.
Great to have you with us here on this Friday of Catholic Answers Live. I'm Jerry Usher in for Cy Kellogg. Don't forget that special offer from Catholic Answers going on this weekend is the March for Life. It's Walks for Life. It is people of goodwill getting out there and banding together, locking arms and walking side by side. Many of them making great sacrifices financially to get to these marches and walks and so forth, but really to a show of solidarity for the cause of human life, which, of course, will be the number one lead story on the network news. You can have no doubt about that. I'm joking, of course. You won't hear a thing about it. But these wonderful pro-life people are out there doing, you know, something in a tangible way that we all should at least be doing in our hearts, and that is praying for the cause of human life. And so Catholic Answers for this entire month of January, Sanctity of Life Month, has Trent Horn's book, Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, and his DVD, Making the Case for Life, each just a $5 bill. I mean, you can get a lot of things for $5. You can get these value meals and stuff like that, and you can probably get a lower level, triple pump special creamy latte thingy or something. But why not get a DVD or a book that is, it really could save a soul, you know, turn a mind around, turn a heart around, and save a soul, not to mention some unborn babies. So get Persuasive Pro-Life, the book by Trent Horn, or his video, Making the Case for Life, each for just $5 for a limited time the rest of this month. That's a savings of over 70%. And you can do that right now if you want at 888-291-8000. If you want to enjoy the rest of the program and just do it at your leisure over the weekend, that's great as well. You can go to the shop at Catholic.com. This is our open forum for non-Catholics. Steve Ray is here. Tim Staples will be along in hour number two. And we have a line open for you. Anyone who is not a Catholic, but you have a question, a comment, a concern, an inquiry about Catholic teaching or practice, the number is 888-318-7884. And as promised, we're going to Missouri next. And David, you're on Catholic Answers Live with Steve Ray. Hello, David.
Hey, Steve. This pertains to a man called Michael Voris. He's a Catholic, and he's made some videos, short videos on YouTube, and shows that up to half of the Catholic priests and bishops are gay. He's got proof about it. He goes, don't kill the messenger, but join the fight of what's going on in the Catholic Church. That's why I'm not Catholic, because when I watch those videos, man, it's very revealing. You know, you got Dolan covering up in New York, other bishops covering it up. And it's getting worse.
I understand where you're coming from. I'm in a dilemma here because I don't want to be overly critical of someone, but I don't pay attention to Michael Voris. I'm sorry, I'm going to be very honest. I have watched his videos years ago, and I found that there's a poison there, that he's only dragging up these things, and I find that much of what he said is not true. If he's saying that half of the bishops and priests are homosexuals, the man is flat out deceived or lying. I know so many priests, personal friends of mine, they are no way that they're gay. Now, I admit that there was a time in the last decades when they were not screening priests and seminarians well, and there were many that snuck into the church, and we saw the headlines, most of the time more exaggerated than it should be. Bishops mishandled it. I agree with that. I agree that there are still some, but in Protestant churches and in Jewish communities and rabbis, it's the same. It's bad there in those situations. But I have found that there are people who are what they're looking for scandals. They're conspiracy hunters. And I find him very disingenuous, I have to be honest. And I'm sorry to say that. I don't like to speak of people like that on the air. But I see the fruit of what he's doing, because you have fallen for it, and you're not a Catholic now because of Michael Voris's, I think, over-angry and dishonest and exaggerations. And because of that, I think he does more harm sometimes than he does good. I'm sorry to say that, but that I'm an honest man, and I speak what I think. So.
And I was considering Catholicism until I saw these videos, and he sounds so credible.
I agree. When you listen to him, he sounds so passionate, he's so Catholic, but in some ways he sets himself up as what a Catholic should be. He becomes a criteria of what Catholicism is, and he's not, frankly. And there are wonderful priests. I have traveled to the Holy Land, I'll just tell you this, and I've taken hundreds of priests with me on pilgrimages and trips. These are wonderful, holy men. I have confronted a few who I thought might be homosexual in all of the thousands that I've ever met. But I would challenge you, if you want to test the veracity of what he says, go out and meet some priests. Go out and meet local priests, and you'll find out that these guys, and the seminarians in the seminary today, these guys know exactly what they're there for. No, these guys are not coming in there to infest the church with homosexuality. The young seminarians in the seminaries today, and I know so many of them, they are solid, orthodox, passionate Catholics who have sacrificed their sexuality, even heterosexuality. They've sacrificed that on the altar of the kingdom of God so that they can serve the church in a holy manner and help us to become holy and to overcome sins not just of homosexuality, but heterosexual sins and pornography and everything else. These new priests are wonderful guys. And yeah, there's a few in there, but you know, I also remember that the Bible said, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is like a field, and there's wheat, the grain has been sowed, but the devil comes and he throws some weeds in there. And so the people say, should we go pull the weeds out? Should we expose them all, go get them and tear them? And Jesus says, wait until the end of time. And I realized that if I'm waiting for the church to be perfect, if I'm looking for the perfect church where there's no sinners, where there's no homosexuality, there's no pornography, there's no fornication, if I'm looking for a church that's perfect, as soon as I find it, it's not perfect anymore, because I know myself and I know my own sins. So I look at the church and I say, it's not just a haven for saints. It's also a hospital for sinners. And when we find people that are breaking the commandments and serving poorly, and if we find these people, then we ought to root them out. But I think that Michael Voris is doing more harm than good sometimes, and he certainly is exaggerating, and he's making people like you, who should be good Catholics, in the fight with us, joining with us in this church that's been here for 2,000 years, you should be joining with us and helping us to make it what it should be, helping us to purify it, and instead you're outside because there's guys like him.
All right, David, I hope that helps. I think David hung up to listen to your answer there, Steve. I would just offer this and ask maybe your quick comment on this, Steve, just for David's benefit and for so many of us as well. We have to understand, and of course you do, Steve, and I do, and as Catholics we understand there is this the office of the priesthood. There's the office of the papacy. The man who occupies that office remains sinful and can potentially commit any kind of scandalous sin. So I would just, you know, I would say, Steve, you know, God knows this is not true, but if every priest and bishop in the world were homosexual, that would not discredit the office of the priesthood, the gift of the priesthood, and the sacraments and all of that. So, I mean,
you're right. Homosexuality is a sin, but so is fornication, and so is lying, and so is gluttony, and so is theft. And we make some that are worse than others, you know. And but the reality is just what you're saying, that we have the priesthood. There's no way in the world that half of them are gay. So that question puts me in a dilemma, because I don't like to criticize a fellow believer on the air. And I'm probably going to have the next YouTube video out is going to be on me and what I just said tonight. But I think that we also have to be clear, and especially when somebody is poisoning other people and even keeping them from becoming Catholics. And also, I think, slandering people that oftentimes there's no proof that there's anything behind it. I think we have to be careful.
All right, thank you, Steve. And again, David in Missouri, we just encourage you to maybe take another look at this. And I love what Steve suggested to you. Get out there and meet some of these priests. I don't know where in Missouri you were listening, but I know in St. Louis there's Kenrick Glennon Seminary. Just call up the rector over there and say, hey, can I come over and just spend an hour or two, get a tour of the seminary, meet these guys. Because Steve, as you know, David, you may not know, I have a ministry as well as my radio program called Vocation Boom. And what we do is we encourage young men to be priests. And so, I'm not an expert in this situation, but I got my finger on the pulse of what's going on with priestly vocations and the priesthood around this country and really across the world. And as Steve said, these young men they're not guys who couldn't get a girl, who couldn't get educated, who couldn't hold a job. These are the best of the best that God is calling today. And that's nothing different. Yeah, just not a commentary on priests of the last few generations. The church has always had holy, saintly, devout, prayerful, sacrificial priests. And where would we be without them? What did Padre Pio say, Steve? It'd be easier for the earth to continue without the sun than without the Holy Mass. So,
yep.
Let us be grateful for the great gift of the priesthood. And,
we need to defend our priests and our bishops and our seminarians and our deacons. I think that what we did tonight, I needed to defend them. I needed to speak the truth about who they really are and what they really are and how much we as Catholics love the priests and the bishops. We may not agree with everything they say and they teach, and we may think their homilies are too long or whatever else. But let's face it, these guys have made huge sacrifices to serve the bride of Christ, and I'm darn glad we have the good priests and bishops and deacons and seminarians we have. I love these guys.
Amen. In fact, there are a lot of them from your parish, right?
There are. Our parish has, if I remember right, I know it was a case at least a year or two ago, 23 men in the seminary. And I know these guys. Don't tell me what they are. Don't tell me what their life is. I know these guys. They grew up with my sons and my daughters. I know 23 of these guys, and many of them have become priests already in the last 10 years. Many of these men have become deacons. And I know these young people who are becoming priests. They were my son's friends. Don't tell me that half of them are living that lifestyle. Anybody who says that needs to have their head examined and their heart.
Okay. Thanks again, David. We're going to get our third break in this hour of Catholic Answers Live right now. Steve Ray will have more answers to your questions. Andres in Espanola, New Mexico, you'll be next. Ken in Kent, Washington, right up there in near my hometown of Seattle. Stephen in Tulsa, and we've got a line available here. It's an open forum for non-Catholics. Any question that is puzzling you, maybe has got you curious, maybe you just flat out say, you know what, you Catholics are wrong on this point, and I want to hear you reply to that. Steve Ray would be happy to, and Tim Staples in hour number two. So we got a long way to go today. 888-318-7884 is the number to call.
Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here with a couple of very special offers for all of you interested in standing up for the rights of the unborn. January is Pro-Life Month, and to get as many people as we can involved in the pro-life cause, we're making my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, and my DVD, Making the Case for Life, available for just $5 each. That's a saving of over 70%. I wrote this book and I made this DVD specifically with you in mind, to help you engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue and give you the tools you need to change people's hearts and minds, so that together we might build up a pro-life culture, one person, one conversation at a time. To get your copies of my book, Persuasive Pro-Life, or my DVD, Making the Case for Life, for just $5, call 1-888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com.
Pope Francis reminds us that it does not take a specialized degree in theology to become a great evangelist. We're all called to evangelize. Think about the woman at the well. After she encountered Jesus, she immediately went into the city and invited others to meet him as she had. You and I can go out now and do the same. And St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. Get involved today by contacting us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
You make the show what it is, and today it's non-Catholics calling in at 888-318-7884. As advertised before the break, we're going to Espanola, New Mexico. Andres, thank you for calling. Andres, did I get the town right? Is it Espanola?
Yeah, it's Espanola, New Mexico.
Espanola, okay. Yeah. Very good to have you with us. Thank you, Andres.
Yeah, my question is, I have a lot of questions, of course, probably just like a lot of people, but I'm glad you're courageous enough to take the questions.
Well, thank you, Andre.
I take off my hat to you for that. Yeah, you might get some tough ones out there. And anyway, my question, I have a lot of them, but the baptism of as a child. And, you know, I was baptized as a child in the Catholic Church, and then as I grew up, my parents became Pentecostal, and I grew up in the Pentecostal church, just like probably a lot of listeners that are listening out there. And I says, well, if you baptize as a child, the child still has a lifetime of sin ahead of him or her. Now, baptism, the way I understand it, should be when there's a consciousness of what you're doing and the remission of sins and so forth. So I don't know how you would explain it different And if you understand what I'm saying, you know, that
baptized a child. Because I came from that background.
The original sin, but I don't know that there's still a lifetime of sinning ahead of that child. So anyway, go ahead.
Well, let me tell you this, Andre, even if you are 10 years old and you now have a consciousness of it and you go and get baptized, you still have a whole lifetime of sin ahead of you, right? So this is a, I mean, when you get baptized doesn't, in a way, stop you from all of your sin in the future. What the Catholic Church believes is that baptism does more than one thing. It's not just something that where you make a statement. And I was a Baptist. I was taught. I can't come from a charismatic Pentecostal Baptist. All these different. I was a lot of churches I went to, and it was mainly stated that when you get baptized, you're just making a statement to the world that you have believed on Jesus, and you're doing this as a statement to tell the world that I have become a Christian. But the Catholic Church sees in baptism a whole lot more than that. It sees it also as the way that it's like a doorway. It's a doorway from being a pagan with a heart of stone and in the old life, and baptism is the doorway into the people of God. What we have to remember is that St. Paul tells us that baptism replaces circumcision. In the Old Testament, on the eighth day, a boy, not a girl, because back in those, the girls were, that's a whole other topic, but the boys were circumcised on the eighth day, and that brought them into the covenant people of God. They were then a citizen of God's people, Israel. If you weren't circumcised, you could not take part in the Passover lamb. If you were not circumcised, you couldn't go into the temple. You were separated from the people of God. That was the action of God and man to bring you into the kingdom of God and make you a covenant person. The Catholic Church believes the same way. I don't want my child to wait until they're 20 years old to become into the covenant with God. That's something that we do as a child, as an infant. We say, by the faith of their parents, we are bringing this child to be born again. That's what born again is, by the way, is water and spirit. Jesus went into the water, the spirit came down. We're born again. And the early church from the very beginning said that when you bring a child and you have them baptized, they are now born again into the kingdom of God. And I'll read a quote from a man named Origen, who was born in 185. He was so close to the apostles. There wasn't even a New Testament yet. He learned what he knew from the apostles and their disciples. The church received from the apostles the custom of giving baptism even to infants, for the apostles, to whom were committed all of the divine mysteries, knew that in everyone there is the innate stain of sin, which must be washed away through water and spirit. And he also went on to say that we have always baptized our children. This we have learned from the apostles. So this is something that's been practiced from the very beginning. I have on my website, CatholicConvert.com, if you go to resources, I have a very good article there about this, about infant baptism, and I explain it all in light of its Jewish origins and why the early Christians did it, why the Bible teaches it, and why we as Catholics baptize our infants now.
Well, you know, baptism, and again, I don't want to be sound mean or nothing, but you hear a lot of controversy. Well, they sprinkle. Now, baptism should be submersed. So there's a lot of give and take on that, too. But
right,
like
there
said,
is. You have good questions there, Andres. I like you. You got good questions. In the early church, even before some of the New Testament books were written, when people got baptized, remember the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts? He was going across the desert, and Philip, the deacon Philip, or maybe he's the apostle Philip. There was a deacon and an apostle. But anyway, he was taken by the Spirit out into the desert to be with this eunuch who was reading the Bible. And he says, how do I understand this Bible unless I have someone to explain it to me? And so Philip explains it to him. And then the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, I'm going to believe in Jesus. I'm going to believe on this now. Why don't you baptize me? And it says that Philip baptized him right there in the desert. How did he baptize him? By immersion in the desert. So the Catholic Church has always taught, when you're an Eskimo and you live in an igloo, how do you immerse someone? What, do you put them in the snow? So the teaching was from the very first century that it is best to be immersed. That's the best way to do it. But if you can't do that, if there's no running water, then you can also sprinkle and pour, with the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the church has always, from the very beginning, allowed baptism. Immersion is the best. Oh, that gives you the whole picture of dying with Christ and being raised up again in new life. But if there's not enough water or it's not practical, pouring and sprinkling will also do.
Okay, Andres, thank you for joining us here. I know you have a lot of questions there. Feel free. Here's a number. I'm going to give you a phone number, Andres, because, and this is something, it's really quite amazing. Anybody who ever wants can take advantage of this. Catholic Answers actually has a staff of apologists. And all they do is answer phone calls. They return phone calls. Typically, it might not get through to somebody right away. You leave a voice message. They will answer emails. They will answer letters. And so as the world's foremost apologetics organization, they are all fully staffed and ready to answer any questions that you might have. So, Andres, you could spend an hour or two literally on the phone with somebody if you wanted. So jot this phone number down. We just don't have time on the radio show. 619-387-7200. 619-387-7200. And as I've said to other callers today and other times, also the website catholic.com, you just do a little keyword search for infant baptism or baptism by immersion or any other question that you have, and you're going to be treated to a treasure trove of scripturally reinforced resources there. So thank you, Andres.
Hey, Jerry,
we appreciate that.
Can I make one comment?
Sure.
I would just say that I love guys like Andres who have great questions like that because they have inquisitive minds. It means they're looking at it. You know, it's like a stone. If a stone is just set in one place, you can't move it as easy, but if it's rolling, you can direct it. And this is a beautiful thing about a guy like this who's asking a lot of questions because the Holy Spirit can direct him and move him in the right direction. And the second thing I would say is that don't be afraid of asking questions, and because I found that the more questions I asked about the Catholic Church, the more I found out that the Catholic Church has the answers. It has been answering these questions for 2,000 years. This is nothing new. You can't throw a new question at the Catholic Church. She's been answering the questions for 2,000 years, and she's got good, solid biblical answers.
All right, Steve, Deacon Greg called in and just made a quick comment. Says thank you for defending priests, deacons, and bishops. So thank you, Deacon Greg, for your vocation, and thanks for listening to Catholic
Absolutely.
Answers Live.
Thanks for being a deacon.
Tim Staples coming up in the second hour. We'll end this hour with Ken in Kent, Washington, just outside of Seattle. Hi, Ken. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live. We've got about 2.5 minutes here.
Okay, great. My question was about the praying to saints, and I know there's a scripture that kind of implies Paul praying for Onesimus. I don't know the pronunciation exactly.
Yep.
Yes, but, you know, to have any strong theology and any substantiated doctrine, you need, you know, several scriptures to support praying to a saint or praying to the dead. So I just don't see that anywhere in Scripture. Rather warned against, you know, praying to, you know, we don't have that example in the New Testament at all, aside from maybe extrapolating that one instance. But
well, that one just supports. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Sorry. Anyway, thanks for calling, Ken, and I understand where you're coming from on this. A lot of times people will bring up the issue of necromancy, which is a communicating with the dead, but that's usually with the intent of finding or predicting the future, but that word also applies to witchcraft, sorcery, and so on. I've heard that used against Catholics, but I understand what you're saying but, you know, the Bible doesn't always have. Let me back up a bit. Sometimes we are challenged that you have to have explicit verses in the Bible before I will accept anything clearly. But, you know, there's a lot of things that evangelical Protestants believe, too, that can't be shown clearly and demonstrably in Scripture and where the words are used, and it's explained clearly. What we believe as Catholics, a lot of times it's the whole process of thought. We're the body of Christ. And when I die, I don't cease to be part of the body of Christ. When my body is in the grave and I'm going up to be with the Lord, I'm still a part of the body of Christ. The whole mystical body includes those who have died and those who are living, and we're all the body of Christ. And those who are in the presence of God, why can't they request prayers for us? Why can't we ask them, would you please pray for us? We know that from the book of Revelation that the angels carry in golden bowls the incense, which is the prayers of the saints. In other words, the angels carry these up into heaven. They carry the only way that the Bible has to use it, because we don't understand heavenly technology all the time, is that they carry golden bowls, which is our prayers. They carry them up into heaven. Why can't the saints in heaven also participate in praying to God and saying, God, here I am sitting with you having a cup of coffee in your throne room. Would you please bless my wife? Would you please bless my husband who's still on the earth? Would you still do good things for our church? Why would we take away from the saints in heaven who are in the presence of God also making requests for us here on the earth? That's the word pray just means to ask. We're asking living saints and those in heaven to pray to God for us. It's very simple, actually.
Thanks, Ken, for the phone call. Open Forum for Non-Catholics continues with a second hour. Tim Staples is coming in here next. Fill up those phone lines at 888-318-7884. As always, Steve Ray, thank you. Great job. We'll hope to do it again. All right.